But just think, you, with your imagination, can trust that your image imagination can put something into the space. And collectively, you know it gets thicker and thicker if you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people with the same work. I mean, everyone's imagination is individual, but collectively you're creating something. That to me is absolute magic.
Hi, I'm Noah Graham, and you're listening to Ensemble Means Together. In this episode, I speak with my teachers, Fern Sloan and Ted Pugh, of the Michael Chekhov School and the Actors Ensemble. Fern Sloan, an actress for over 40 years, is co-founder and co-artistic director with Ted and Charles Harper of the Actors Ensemble and has performed and taught the Michael Chekhov technique in the U.S., Canada, and Europe. She was certified by Beatrice Straight to teach the work of Michael Chekhov and was on the faculty of the original Michael Chekhov Studio in New York City for the last 3 years of the studio's existence. She was co-director and on the faculty of the Speech and Drama Program of Sunbridge College. Prior to founding the Actors Ensemble, Fern played leading roles in numerous regional theaters in the U.S. and off-Broadway, including the Guthrie, which she'll talk about in the interview. Together with Jessica Cerullo, Fern wrote the MISHA workbook. MISHA is the Michael Chekhov Association, to assist those practically studying the Chekhov technique. Ted Pugh is co-founder and co-artistic director of the Actors Ensemble and has appeared on Broadway, off-Broadway, and in regional theaters around the United States. After having trained at the Michael Chekhov Studio in New York City, Ted was certified as a teacher by Beatrice Straight and Deirdre Dupre in 1983 and was on the faculty of the Michael Chekhov Studio in New York City for the last 7 years of its existence. Ted has also taught workshops throughout the U.S., Europe, and Russia. A founding member of the Long Wharf Theater in New Haven, Connecticut, under the direction of John Jory, he began his career at Arena Stage in Washington, D.C. in 1962. Both Ted and Fern are faculty members of the Michael Chekhov Studio in Hudson, New York. Since 1985, their company, the Actors Ensemble, has been creating theater with the vision of exploring and developing Michael Chekhov's approach to acting and putting it on stage. Projects have included plays, adaptations of literary works, devised ensemble pieces, ensemble filmmaking, and teaching. Through the Michael Chekhov School, which they founded in 2015, Ted, Fern, and Ragnar Freidank, in association with actor teachers such as Joanna Merlin and Bethany Caputo, have offered multi-week immersions and shorter intensive workshops in aspects of the Chekhov technique. Please see show notes for more on Michael Chekhov, especially if you're new to the technique. You'll find a lot of resources that can help you begin to dive in. And now, Fern Sloan and Ted Pugh.
I wanted to do a series about ensemble and how you build ensemble and the importance of ensemble. And, of course, with the Chekhov work, it begins at the very beginning with everyone in a circle. I'm really fascinated with the idea of the circle and the ensemble and what circling up means. So the place I wanted to begin was that moment at the beginning of class when you call everyone into the circle, and how does that relate for you to the idea of building an ensemble?
For one thing, you're immediately in having an exchange with another person, and you have that, you constantly have that exchange and what it is to be open and available to another person and to give to another person. So you're immediately in that giving and receiving with everyone who's in the class. So you're not calling it ensemble, but you're starting to make connections in the simplest way.
Yeah. And, you know, and of course there's the throwing of the ball.
Right.
So there is a give and a take. And you're full front. I mean, it's, I suppose some might feel that that's a bit vulnerable. But, you know, you're not sitting at a table. You're standing up. And you are, what is the word I'm looking for? You are...
I would say you're open and making yourself available to another.
Exactly. And, you know, it is not an unnatural thing. I mean, people stand in a circle. I don't know, there is something about a circle, isn't there? It's not a square, you know. We're not in a line, two lines with each other. Everybody sees everybody. Yeah, it's not even something you have to talk about. It would just happen.
And it's not immediate. I mean, you don't stand in the circle and all of a sudden you're open. So it's a whole process that you get engaged with as to what does it mean to be open? What does it really mean to give? And what does it really mean to receive? And that's a whole process. But you go through it together. And because you're being watched and you're watching, there's a lot going on inwardly all the time. I don't know that you can stand in that circle and not be engaged because you're going to be on the spot any moment. Just one thing. When we started the ensemble, there were three of us. And that was very different when a fourth person entered and we were a square. It made a difference.
Oh, right. Okay, so are you referring to the actors' ensemble? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So why don't you talk about the creation of that and why did you decide to name it that? And did that have anything to do with the kinds of work you were considering wanting to do together?
Well, we went through a lot of names and we went through a lot of discussion. And I was the one who came up with the name. And it just seemed, it wasn't a very creative name. It wasn't a very, you know, a stimulating name. But we were actors and we were forming an ensemble. And as Fern mentioned, we were standing often in a circle, but we felt like we were creating a circle with the three of us. And then when a fourth, as she said, came, but the focus was right away. Our intention was to build ensemble, and I think somebody at some point said three is an ensemble. Maybe two isn't. I think maybe it was Charles that might have said that. And then, as Fern said, a fourth came in. And then, of course, over the years, others were added, and we have had a much larger ensemble. You know, there are many of the arts that you practice alone. You create by yourself in a room, a writer, a painter. But I think, and also I think with Fern's and my training in the so-called method, ensemble was not talked about. Mm-mm. It wasn't dealt with. It wasn't something that was considered to be important.
That's so interesting to me because one of the things Michael Chekhov talked about is that each person is equally important. And he spoke against he even called stars isolationists and that the ensemble and this idea of circling up, which is very common in acting classes, not so much like in a dance class. I don't think you go into a dance class and stand in a circle. Mm. I don't think that's how that begins. So even other collective art forms don't necessarily begin in this particular way where you're connecting with other people. So where were you studying the method? Were you both, is that where you met? I can't remember if you were.
No, no. Fern and I both studied with Uta Hagen when we were just beginners. And then I studied with Michael Howard. And I think Michael was a little more interested in ensemble. But I don't remember that Uta ever even mentioned the word. Mm-mm. When we were studying with Uta, she was a star. I mean, she was considered maybe by many, many as the greatest American actress. But it was not until really the Chekhov work. By the time I got to the Chekhov work, I had a career of some 25 or so years. And I'm just trying to think when perhaps was the first time that any of my teachers mentioned ensemble. I carried that book around with me since I was 17 years old. Maybe 19 years old. And I tried to study it. There was no place to study it. I mean, until Beatrice Straight won the Academy Award.
You're referring to The Actor by Michael Chekhov.
Right, book. Yeah. And I don't know where I was going with this, but that...
Well, in carrying around the book, maybe that was in your consciousness, the importance of ensemble?
I think it was not consciously in there, but to... And, you know, I was in acting companies. I was in the first two seasons of the Long Wharf Theater. I was at Arena Stage, and I have to say, I didn't call it that at the first time, but Arena Stage, when I was at Arena Stage, was the most important theater company in the country. It was recognized as really an extraordinary ensemble, and it was. I'd never I've never seen better actors in my life. I've never seen better ensemble in my life than what that was in those years in 1960, 61, I think. I think now ensemble is something that is more widely recognized in theater companies. There are exercises, ensemble exercises, and don't you think, Fern?
Well, I'll have to go back, because when I was working with Uta, I worked with her, Uta, for 7 years. I don't think it was, because everyone was very much individually concerned with their own task and how they could get into the theater. It was not, as a group, it was not that. It was, what can I do to get a job? And I think that was dominant then. I mean, it didn't even occur to me about an ensemble. Now, when I went to the Guthrie, because they had the same cast there year after year after year, they had a group of actors that was the main group of actors, and they had a nine-month contract. So I went into that. So there were many actors in there who had been working together for years. So that would be a certain ensemble that had been created just because they had a company. They had a company of actors. I don't know if the same was true at the Long Wharf, but I was thinking about the ensemble, and we have only had one person in all the years that we had the ensemble that said, I'm not interested in ensemble. I'm interested in what I can do. And that's perfectly fine. And I think each of us within the ensemble, of course, you have your own personal investment in that. You're not, but there's just a different gesture about it. And that is like, it's like, yes, you're an actor and I'm an actor and we're equal and let's see what we can do together, which is different than what can I do to be seen? What can I do to get a job? What, you know, it's a very different soul gesture.
And it's much more fun. I mean, when you really become aware and alive to this is an ensemble, then I think what it does is it calls forth play, that you're playing with each other. And that's just, quite frankly, it's just more fun.
You know, so much of the Chekhov work has to do with listening and receiving. When we first started, we did what you call common movement. And so it was all about listening, because you would listen to say, where's the impulse for the movement going to come? And you'd follow that impulse, and you didn't know where it came. It wasn't necessarily initiated by any one person, but you'd follow, and you'd follow where that movement would take you. We did that for days and weeks and months and years, because you're listening and you're receiving, you're wide open to be available to that movement or that gesture. Mm-hmm. And I have found that over the years, that is invaluable. Because not only for you, because you're finding out what it is to be open and to receive and be available, but to follow another's impulse.
That's so beautiful. I was reading in the archive, the Michael Chekhov archive this morning. I just searched on ensemble, so a few things came up. And one thing was this, what he calls feeling of the ensemble or group feeling. And then he talked about how that is it comes from the joy of being together and creating together. But it's also the creation of something that goes beyond. You know, there's this new, the feeling of the whole, which is like something different from the sum of the parts. Mm-hmm. And I was really struck in training with you, doing the intensives with you, when we would do atmosphere work. Mm-hmm. And every play, if you go to a performance, it's going to have an atmosphere, right? But it felt so important to do that together and to create that together. It's just so different from having a personal atmosphere, having a collective atmosphere. Would you talk about that exercise and some of the other, if any other group exercises come to mind that you find particularly useful for ensemble building?
I'm glad you brought up atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Haven't thought about it for a while. But just think, you, with your imagination, can trust that your imagination can put something into the space. And collectively, you know, it gets thicker and thicker if you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people with the same work. I mean, everyone's imagination is individual, but collectively you're creating something. That, to me, is absolute magic. It's that total invisible thing that is not invisible. It's the visible invisible. And it's a substance. It's a true substance that is created.
And it's also a very powerful experience when you tell one actor that he comes into the room with a different atmosphere. So he brings it, you build the atmosphere with, say, five actors, and then you have that person come into the room with a very different personal atmosphere, and you just see who wins. And very often, the person that comes in with a different atmosphere just finally has to give in.
Can you say an example of that? It looks like you're thinking of something.
Yeah. Well, for instance, if you create a very joyous atmosphere in the room with five actors, and they don't even have to necessarily be speaking, but to really, they join together in a very joyous atmosphere, and someone walks in with anything but a joyous atmosphere, it is not necessarily going to happen that that person with the dark atmosphere is going to change everything. Maybe the actors just are not going to go there. And ultimately, something has to happen. And even if the person who comes in with the dark atmosphere doesn't absolutely stop it, but it certainly changes the degree to which he or she brings in that darker atmosphere. And one of the pleasures of teaching it and of doing it is you don't know who's going to win. Now, you don't say that to them, see who's going to win. But you may, from the sidelines, say to the person, you know, with the dark atmosphere, don't give it up. Keep that darkness, keep that atmosphere, and see to what degree you have to alter, to what degree you have to ultimately change. But it's a wonderful exercise because you really have ensemble work.
I remember once in Ireland, we had one group that were joyous. They were at a party atmosphere, say. But we had three people who come in who were grieving. Three came in together. And those who party would not pay any attention to them. And the three grieving ended up in sobbing. And it was very, very disturbing. Because that is never our intention, that you bring someone. But because those playing, where they were just playing, they were playing with them, they totally ignored them. They would have nothing to do with. So you've got to have the group sensitive to one another to really say, I'm going to hold on to this. I don't care what you do. I'm going to hold on to my atmosphere because that's what I'm going to do. As opposed to saying, I've got this atmosphere, but maybe I can be influenced. So it's not win or lose. It's like, what influences? What is the influence that comes in?
And you know, when you're doing this work of creating atmosphere, you would think, well, maybe you wouldn't think, but it might be possible that there would be an actor who's not going to give up anything to join that atmosphere. But when it does happen, it creates, what can I say, it creates a very different space that you're in. Hopefully, and very often I think it does happen, it just becomes more joyous. It just becomes, well, I will even say more fun. More, when you are an ensemble and you speak, everybody is with you. I mean, it's a joyous experience when you finally start doing work on ensemble. It just brings such a rich element. And of course, Chekhov talks about it in many, many, many different ways. But we are called ensembles. You know, have you seen the acting ensemble in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or wherever? It's just richer.
Chekhov talks about everyone in the ensemble being interdependent, even if they're not on stage. Mm-hmm. And I love that idea of the actors slightly off stage. There's a really great story about the Luntz. Mm-hmm. Is it the Luntz? They're the famous couple. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the play was, but there's a dinner going on during the play, but it doesn't happen on stage, but they would actually have the dinner in the wings.
That's right.
So that this could be going on. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm curious about performance and what have been your experiences of ensemble building in performance, because I think sometimes there's this real divide between being in the classroom and then actually being part of a production. And ensembles aren't necessarily consciously built because, well, the actors already learned how to do that in class, so we don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. For you, is there a difference between the ensemble on stage that has actively built, like with the Guthrie, just through experience, or let's say Second City or Upright Citizens Brigade or some of these kinds of groups that improv all the time and they they develop such a strong feeling mm-hmm. of energy among them and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you have standout experiences of conscious ensemble building as part of a production?
I remember when we first started. When we started performing, we thought, because when we first started the Chekhov work, we were going to be a blank slate and forget about, if we could, our previous training. So we would do only the Chekhov work. And I remember that, I'm going to faint the first performance. I don't know if I can really sustain this. But I knew I wasn't alone. And I knew that I was with Chaz and Ted, and that together we would find out what happens. Mm-hmm. And that was very, very strong. So even though I thought I might collapse here, or I might just not be able to sustain it, but I'm with two others, so let's see what happens among us. Mm-hmm. And that is enormous strength. And then over the years, it just became so much a fabric of what we did that I'm not out there alone. We've created a substance among us, a certain trust, and a certain, I have to have you here, and you have to have me here, and together we're going to see what happens. We're going to see what we create together, which is a very different dynamic.
Yeah. You know, in New York, well, and not really just New York, I was not trained in musical theater, but the three Broadway shows that I did were all musicals. And it wasn't just the Broadway shows. I did musicals off Broadway. And I was always very, very interested in, you know, I considered myself an actor. I didn't consider myself a singer or a dancer. But I had great respect when I would go into the room where the singers were working and how they would listen to each other and how that, because, you know, with harmony, if someone is just singing way too loud, and when I call them the singers, that was their profession. Most of them just did commercials, and most of them were always in the chorus. No, they didn't play leading roles, but they just knew and sensed that maybe they were just a little louder than everybody, and they would pull it down and join that. It was a wonderful thing because they were professionals, and it was the same with the dancers. I would... As I said, I wasn't a singer or a dancer, but I did musicals, and I could move well, and I could sing. But I would love to run down the hall to the room where the dancers were rehearsing and just watch them, how they were also an ensemble, and they knew it. Mm-hmm. They just knew that they weren't supposed to stick out. And, you know, and the choreographer would, you know, kind of mutter to himself and kind of have his feet doing something, and he would go, yeah, let's do this. And he would show it to them, and they would just do it. You know, complicated things. And when they were learning it, of course, they were concerned with what they were doing. But to watch them later, you know, one time I was in a room at the studio in New York City, and I was doing a play called Irene, a musical. And the stage manager came running down, to the rooms where people were working privately and saying, they're going to perform the opening number. And we were not in the chorus. So we would rush down and we would sit on the floor and we would watch them. And it was always an extreme example of ensemble. It was a beautiful thing to see. And, you know, just to watch how they did it unconsciously was really thrilling.
I'm glad you brought up the whole thing of music, because I was a singer before I knew I was an actor. And working in a chorus, you are very conscious all the time. Because, like you say, you don't want, you're there to blend in. You're not there to stand out. And I've never made that connection, Ted, before. because that's essential. You don't even have the possibility, otherwise you're not a good chorus member and you'll be thrown out.
Yeah.
But it's essential that you be there to add your voice.
Yeah, and you know, as I said, the singers in a musical, and it wasn't just the Broadway shows, but that was their career, and they just knew that you had to harmonize. They just knew that you. They would even at times lean into the other person so they could really hear what they're doing in relationship to what the other person is doing. And it's too bad that actors don't do more of that.
But that's I was thinking how readily you can extend that metaphor to acting.
Yeah.
I think a lot about Anton Chekhov's work and how every voice in there is contributing. Like, if you look at a play like The Cherry Orchard, each character and their relationship to the cherry orchard is so essential. It tells a different story about class and ownership and the past, nostalgia, change, the future, chances missed, opportunities seized. And if you're really listening, like you're saying about the voices, it just it just feels like that's what the work is in a play like that, is to be so attuned to everyone else. And when Chekhov talked about attunement, there was an exercise. Well, there's so many exercises that are about that, right? One is everybody stand at once, you know, and most people who have taken an acting class have done the one of count to 10, but no two people say a number at the same time. In your opinion, does a fresh group need to begin with exercises like that in order to create, as an ensemble, something that's always being created anew every time a different group of people enter a space to work together?
Well, I don't know if it is, but it should be, yeah. You know, sometimes you just as a director or just, you do, you know, for maybe several days forget about ensemble and you're looking at individuals. And saying to an individual, you know, I just don't think that works in this scene. I think you have to, you know, it has to come out of silence, or it has to come out of whatever. And then, you know, maybe in 2 or 3 days, you realize, you know, that maybe they aren't really listening to each other. Or maybe they are, and you just, you know, support that in some way.
You know, I would have to say we have been really spoiled, because we've worked with the Actors Ensemble for 35 years. And so there's always been a solid core, and then maybe new person will come in, but that solid base is always there. So it's not like, now I'm working with this group, now I have a different job like you do, now I'm working with a different group, now I'm working with a different group. So I'm saying we're spoiled.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It feels like an incredible luxury to know. And I know, like, when I go to the movies, if I'm seeing like a Christopher Guest film and he works with the same actors over and over, or Wes Anderson, people who kind of have a company, or a theater company, same thing. I just feel an enormous sense of envy. That they have that common language, you know. And in your case, it's a language of technique as well as all this time that you've spent together. Do you find when you're rehearsing as the Actors Ensemble that you use Chekhov language as your shorthand? Or have you developed your own sub-language shorthand within it?
I think each of us individually are finding our own choices within the Chekhov.
And you're not necessarily sharing them. You're just, you know, you'll be working on something.
I was taught by Uta Hagen that you don't tell what your choices are. Yeah. I've stuck with that because I do feel it robs you of something. So, but you can be working on something. I remember we were doing it, the first show we did up here in Columbia County. I had this character who was to be very awkward. And I thought, how do I do that? I finally found something. People say, what are you doing? I'm not going to tell you. I mean, you know, it robs you of something.
Yeah, I think it is important.
Yeah.
That you don't give that away.
And, I think, it doesn't just rob you. In a way, it robs the work, because there's all this ambiguity, right? Like, if I don't know, as an actor, if I'm playing a woman whose husband has cheated on her, say, or that's ambiguous. Like, I need to know if he's ever cheated on me, and he needs to know if he's ever cheated on me. But actually, we don't have to have the same answer to that question. And in that ambiguity and that lack of being on the same page is the life.
And that creates the tension. That's where it is. You're right. That's where the life is. We haven't talked about ensemble in quite a long time. So I really appreciate your bringing it to our attention. And like, I feel like just sitting here, I've learned something that I didn't know before. Like music. I never realized the degree to which I had been in music and choruses and choirs up until I became an actor. What a kind of influence that had on me, as far as it being able to listen.
Yeah.
Listen outside.
Certainly with harmony.
Oh, wow.
Harmony.
Huge.
I mean, we use that word. You know, they're very much in harmony with one another. Just to watch them work, sitting in a chair, you know, around the piano, how that was just the most natural thing in the world to create through the music an ensemble.
You know, when we started too, with this is where it's spinning now. when we started with the Chekhov work, we were so researching. Mm. We were really, because it was new. We were the only group that at that point was really digging in, and we dig and we, and so even that helped us create ensemble because we were all digging. We were all researching at every moment. And I wouldn't say just for weeks and months, but years. Mm. And that, I think, also really created ensemble because we were all in this search together, what we would discover together, what we would share with another, mm. how we would learn to teach something and then change that and teach it in a different way. And all that was creating this ability to encompass the whole.
Yeah. You know, Bethany Caputo, she was doing a show. I can't remember what the show was. And it was with a man who was a very big star. And she was playing a supporting role. And she had an entrance. There was an actress who was on stage. And Bethany comes on. And I don't know if she confronts her, but they have a scene together. And Bethany was standing in the wings and she thought, you know, I think I'm gonna bring something different tonight on stage. And she did. And later the actress said to her, that was so fabulous what you did, because then my next line had to be this way and not that way. And it was, she came in with a gift and the scene just flew. The scene just went somewhere.
And she was working with Laurie Metcalf.
Okay, wait, was this All My Sons?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, it was Alec Baldwin, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, right. It was.
And
yeah.
Bethany was playing, I've played this role,
oh,
the next door neighbor, Sue.
Oh, that's right.
My gosh, yeah. I can't remember her last name.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I love stories like that. And when you hear a story like that, invariably the other actor is grateful to the actor that came on with a new idea.
Yeah.
I was like, thank goodness, I felt so alive, you know.
Yeah.
As opposed to, well, this is a Chekhov story that we hear. That Chekhov was on stage with someone who was very famous at that point. And Chekhov wasn't doing anything, but all the attention was on Chekhov. And so when they went off stage, the main actor said, I don't know what you were doing, but don't ever do it again. You know, that's just one of my favorite stories, because all the life was with you. As I was acting my pants off. You know?
Yeah, one wonders if that actor was really lacking that kind of attunement, because if it had been there, if there was a togetherness that is what you're looking for,
that's right.
They would have been singing
this
together.
This is about me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so great. Thank you.
Thank you both.
And why are you doing this?
I love you. I'm doing it because, to me, there's something so fundamentally democratic about the idea of a play that has 5 or 10 characters over this kind of protagonist, the single protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a Chekhov play, you can identify with more than one character.
Oh, yeah.
And I just find that, I find that impulse toward democratization of the narrative space by considering multiple characters' point of views, to me, is a force for good in the world, you know?
You brought up the Chekhov plays before. I think that's true. I did Seagull, and I did Masha in the Seagull in my first career. And I did also Irina in the first career of the three sisters. And that has to be ensemble. You're all so interconnected. There's so many relationships that are crossed, and one relationship is affecting another. You have to just layer it in. And that, I didn't know anything about ensemble then, but you have this relationship, you have this relationship, you have so many different relationships going on. And that's probably why the Moscow Art Theater made such a great performance of the Chekhov plays.
Yeah, that's really true. And they had that history with one another, right?
Yeah,
and
that's what
and
I
that
mean.
Just recognition of the web of relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another gift, isn't it, when you can get to do a Chekhov play.
Mm-hmm.
Not only the play itself, but all these different relationships that you have.
Oh, absolutely.
And every person in the play will go through something. Everyone in that play will go through something.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, not every playwright is mindful of the arc for each character.
Mm-hmm.
And some
mm-hmm.
characters are really there to allow a major character to tell a piece of their story.
Mm-hmm.
I find that unsatisfying as a reader, an audience member, and an actor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, that's part of my interest in ensemble, too, yes, is how do you write in that way that recognizes that web of relationship and the importance of each person and that each person is the hero of their own story?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.